You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
So somehow over the course of this entire work week, as we have been untethered from ESPN, and this is supposed to be, even though it's a super weird pandemic year plus, supposed to be the biggest sporting event in the United States every year. It hasn't felt like that to us. It was a weird week as part of a weird year, and a weird season comes to an end very soon here with a pretty cool story between Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes.
I think once you get to Sunday, though, it will feel like it, right? Like you and I have been talking, the NFL product has not been ruined by no fans being there, by the pandemic, which surprised both of us. I think once you get to Sunday, it's Super Bowl, it's Brady, it's Mahomes. You'll feel it on Sunday,
well,
I think.
Well, one of the things that I would say that I'm interested about as it relates to Super Bowl being good at doing big things, football good at big things. They manage at a time in the pandemic, Stugatz, with ESPN, the degree of difficulty on what they did with that draft day, making it any semblance of normal with where we were at the time and making it feel big. It was the last big sports thing that we were able to do that still felt, I think, like normal, right? Even the NBA Finals, everything's been a little weird. We've all been a note off, but when faced, the last time the NFL was faced with a big thing, they pulled it off with the ESPN. So now comes the Super Bowl, but comes the Super Bowl, Stugatz, and this is the part I'll be interested, because football is so good at big. We're in a content drought, man. It's hard to get things made right now just to finish them because of the costs associated with all of the testing and everything else. Can the Super Bowl bring the kind of weight and clout to this where you're going to see a lot of big things being produced in a way that feels normal, that's not on Zoom, that is big actors, big players, big celebrities making it feel like the biggest day in Americana?
I think so. Like, why are you thinking that can't happen just because?
Oh, I just don't know what will happen. It's not that I think it can't happen. It's just, I'm curious, as a television viewing experience, are they going to be able to pull off everything as big as they do every year?
It'd be interesting to see, because the NFL, in actually watching the games, even when there are fans, no fans in the stands, it actually feels kind of normal. It all kind of surprised us how much the TV product didn't actually suffer from it. The Super Bowl is probably going to call, not probably, is definitely going to call more attention to the pandemic than the actual game broadcast, whether it's first responders in the stands, whether it's 30,000 cardboard cutouts. There is a rising to the moment. This is always going to be remembered as the Super Bowl that was played during the pandemic. I think they will do some things to honor those that are not here to see it, and also lean into the fact that it's a Super Bowl unlike any other. I was listening to the director of the halftime show talk about all the extra space that they have comparative to previous Super Bowls, and you're going to have to anticipate that there's going to be a very interesting halftime performance that all of a sudden doesn't have to worry about tens of thousands of people in the ways of potential production hits.
But can they recreate that feeling you have when you're watching a Super Bowl? It's a good question. I don't know. But I felt like I was watching the NFC Championship game when it was Brady and Rodgers. I didn't feel any different watching that game as opposed to last year's game.
Oh, but Super Bowl is totally different.
Totally different.
Not? It's not. This isn't about fans. I'm not talking. No, I'm talking about you're going to be in front of your television for 12 hours on Sunday. You don't usually do that as a family at a party with people. You're going to be watching coverage. The television's going to be on in your house from noon to 3 or for whatever it is all day for 9 hours. It's going to be on one channel the way it is on Sundays when nobody even competes against the Super Bowl. Everybody gets out of the way. This is the biggest thing in America. It's the biggest. It's the thing every year where America goes back to a different time in America and huddles around the television together.
Right,
that's not something we used to do once upon a time.
Right, but now we can't huddle around the TV together. And whereas NFL Sundays during the red zone and regular season, even conference championship week, was a distraction from everything that was going on. You're not going to get that here. You're not going to get that during the pregame ceremonies. And you're certainly not going to get it during the commercial breaks because of all these companies that did decide to spend money on Super Bowl commercials. A lot of them have to be careful. You're not going to see a lot of the fun commercials that you used to see. It's, hey, we're here for you. We're going through this together. The messaging is going to be totally different. So you're not going to get the escape that if you're looking for an escape from all that's going on in the world, I don't think you're going to get it here.
The best story to be coming in and talking about on Monday is Brady winning again, right?
100%. Yes.
He's the underdog. That's what's amazing about this story at the very end, or what one assumes is the very end. He's the underdog now. The greatest winner ever is the underdog.
Mike, are you denying that's the greatest?
No, that's not the greatest for our show. The greatest thing for our show is for me to open Monday's show with your Andy Reid take on Patrick Mahomes.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's the greatest possible.
Well, but
I've boxed myself in. I am so rooting for Brady now.
Listeners of this show, though, get to win one way or the other, right? Because I've been being accused of saying Brady is done for 6 years. So it's not like I'm going to get to skate.
This is his third Super Bowl in his 40s.
We saw them.
He's had three Hall of Fame careers.
That's a story for me. I'm going to enjoy. I enjoyed Rodgers.
He's had
Brady.
A Hall of Fame career since I said he was done.
Since 40, he's had a Hall of Fame career.
It's incredible. I'm really going to enjoy the fact that it's the greatest of all time versus the greatest of all time. It's Mahomes versus Brady. The last time we saw them play, Tom Brady won in that conference championship game in Kansas City, and the whole strategy was, please, dear God, let us win the coin flip. So can he keep up with them? Because Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill had an absolute party the last time these two played.
He just kept up with Aaron Rodgers.
Well, but he
didn't really.
Here's the thing.
He beat him.
Yeah, but
he didn't play very well, but he won. The thing about his team, and I don't know if they can do this. I don't know how sustainable this thing is. I do know they bothered Aaron Rodgers, and they bothered him twice. And I didn't see Aaron Rodgers bothered by anybody else that he played against this season. And what I wonder is, can Tom Brady win with the formula that beat him twice with the Giants? Can he win with pass rush with four, and I'll just be Eli Manning in this scenario?
I think the Eagles got him with that too, right?
Can you get pass rush with four? The Eagles mauled them. They scored 44 points. They sort of just ran over their offense. The way to slow Kansas City. We've only seen Kansas City because you can't do anything about Hill and Kelce. Because them in third and long is still terrifying to your defense. You don't feel good if the Kansas City Chiefs are in third and long. He's just going to throw it 14 yards to Kelce, and there's nothing that you can end up doing about it because he's too big and Patrick Mahomes is too accurate. Or he'll run for 14 yards because he's also mobile. But the way to stop them that we have seen, or slow them, right, is just hold the ball the way the Patriots did in a playoff game at Kansas City in the first half, where you lead 14-0 because you're just holding the ball in the first half, and then just hold on for your life because you're just trying to hold on to the football because they're going to score a lot of touchdowns in their games, is get pressure with four. Can you get Can you bother Patrick Mahomes at all because you can get pressure with four?
The Eagles showed that they could do that in a game that Tom Brady threw for 500 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no picks. Yeah. Nick Foles beat that Tom Brady, which is just bizarre.
Lost to Foles and Eli Manning.
He lost to Foles and Eli Manning. In one of those games, he went 28 of 48 for 505 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. And only gave up 1 sack that game.
I mean, he's going to put together an entire season. He's going to have a 16-game sample size in the Super Bowls. I mean, if he keeps playing, going easy.
If he keeps playing, if he just gets to his 50s.
Wait, Mike, the Browns kind of did that. They contained the Chiefs a little bit, didn't they?
We
well,
did
Henny
it
came into the game.
Butker, oh, that's right.
Butker missed extra points and field goals, right, and then there was a concussion that opened the door.
That game was 19-3.
I think the key to beat Patrick, and where I was excited about a potential matchup as the season progressed, was, oh, you have Myles Garrett and Olivier Vernon. Cut to Olivier Vernon tears his Achilles, and Myles Garrett is still dealing with COVID effect. So you didn't get that pressure. Shaq Barrett and Jason Pierre-Paul were amazing against Green Bay. I mean, the right tackle couldn't even get a hand on some of that pressure.
And that was a great offensive line.
It's a really good offensive line. Eric Fisher, who was once the number one overall draft pick, left tackle, he's out for this game. Got a really bad injury. So can you actually bother Patrick Mahomes, a quarterback that hasn't lost by more than one score since Texas Tech played Iowa State?
That's the way it would be, though, right? We're in agreement that if Tampa's going to win the game, are we not in agreement on this? That's what it's not about. Tom Brady outplaying Patrick Mahomes. It's can Tampa's front four sustain anything that is an irritant against Kansas City? Because for whatever the juggernaut is that Kansas City, Stugatz, is alleged to be this year and the last 2 years, it needs not be forgotten that with Jimmy Garoppolo, who can barely play, with 6 minutes left, Kansas City was done, and they had to convert a third and long in that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we might just be doubting Kansas City right now. And the idea, never mind that their championship run seems like a foregone conclusion across a decade, they were 6 minutes from losing the last Super Bowl in a low-scoring game.
I know. Listen, can they do it? I don't know. I have my doubts. It's either going to be that or they have to just outscore. Brady has to have one of those legendary Brady days.
But no one sees that one coming, do you?
The Raiders did it this year. They beat them 40-32. But no one sees that coming.
But you think that, is that the best story? Is Brady winning a shootout against Mahomes and just throwing for 500 yards and ending up on the right side of that Foles-Brady game? Is that the best scenario for?
That'd be a great story. I mean, who would you rather come out there with a chance to win the game under 2 minutes, Brady or Mahomes? You want to see Brady do it, right? America wants to see if Brady that done, right?
For sure. Yeah. You don't want to see Mahomes do it. You expect Mahomes to do it.
Well, you kind of expect Brady to do it.
You never expect. How many times this season was Mahomes actually down and the defense gets to celebrate because they don't get the game-winning drive? That happened against the Raiders. Maybe? Yes. Raiders, that's it?
And they did victory laps outside the stadium on the team bus. Rightfully
so. You just expect that if you give the ball back to him, if you don't win at the end with no time left, you're going to lose. Now, Brady's the greatest 2 minutes ever. Mahomes feels like already, you're just going to lose. Don't give him the ball back.
It's an awesome
match. Four downs to get 10 yards?
With Brady, there has to be like a minute 30, minute 45. With Mahomes, it could be 14 seconds and a couple of timeouts.
Watch Tyreek Hill. Send four guys with him, all of them slower than him.
It's a great matchup, and I was rooting to see Rodgers versus Mahomes, but really in terms of talent on the field and individual matchups that have to be won and relying on players' greatness, this game is the best of all options. You have the pass rushers in JPP and Barrett in Tampa Bay. You have Evans and Godsend. The greatest tight end in NFL history is playing in this game, and I'm not sure which team he's playing for just yet. And Tyreek Hill is just an unstoppable weapon. The only way that his production goes down is if Andy Reid decides that guy is going to be a decoy. And considering how he played the last time against Tampa Bay, I'm not sure he's going to be a decoy in this game.
You were talking about Cameron Brate.
Death taxes Cameron Brate.
Billy, how did you feel? Did you cover very much? Did you watch very much of the Super Bowl coverage this week when you were experiencing Radio Row and everything on ESPN? You got to watch a little bit of First Take. Billy, what would you say you took away from the Super Bowl coverage this week? Did you feel far away from everything?
I did. Until we talked to Jaron May on Wednesday. And since then, I've been in, man. I feel like we were there. I feel like we're part of the action. Whatever action there is, we're part of it. We're as there as everyone else, right? Except Jaron.
Yeah.
But have you consumed any of the week's coverage on ESPN? Have you watched any of it? Have you been interested? I don't know why it is.
Why are you going to Billy on this?
I don't
this?
Know why Billy went to a Wednesday conversation with a kid who was doing student radio at Syracuse University. But I was asking, I don't know who among us has been watching the Super Bowl coverage of the week. ESPN is doing Super Bowl coverage. Who can give me some information about what that looked like?
Thursday was great. First Take. I mean, it's just been a good week all around, Dan. I don't know what to tell you. They've had good guests. I've been watching the shows nonstop. I got up with Greeny. I saw what he had to say. Stephen A. Radio Row, Jaron May.
You just went through their television right, line.
Very good. And that concludes our Super Bowl coverage for the week. Billy just totally petering out because he had nothing to offer the conversation.
He tried.
Enjoy the Super Bowl, everybody. We'll talk to you on Monday. Give us several millions of dollars.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.